Bien. Yeah, good morning. It's a great morning, though.
So good morning, Life Change. Yeah, are we all awake? Okay, anybody not awake? I knew it would be the back of the room. Yes. We removed the recliner just for you. So how has God been to you?
Awesome.
Right. Is this the start of a great year?
Yes.
Yes. Is God always good?
All the time.
Always. So just want to thank you and welcome you here this morning and just welcome our visitors. We got a special program for you all today. Yes. So we're going to be doing some vision casting. Pastor Brad's going to explain that a little bit later. So I'm not going to get into it. Next Sunday, we're having our outreach after church. If you'd like to take part in that, just come chat with me. Bring a sack lunch. The following Sunday, the 21st, we're having a business meeting immediately after church. And then, so we got just work, work, work. And then finally on the 28th, we have a potluck after church. So that's when we get our rest and our food. So today, really quick, we're just going to pray for the Bay City United Methodist.
Just let you know that we had for Lottie Moon Christmas offering for December, $1,385.10 that came in. So thank you for giving.
Thank you all for giving. Okay. So now we'll pray for Bay City Methodist, United Methodist. Pastor David Hurd and his leadership team. So if you join me in prayer really quick. So Holy Father, just thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to gather here today. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you are always there with us. Lord, just thank you for bringing each of us to you and helping us to walk closer and stronger in you. And Lord, just ask you to please bless today with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, please fill this place with your presence. Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to the message today, and especially to you. And Lord, we just want to lift up Pastor Hurd and his leadership team to you. Lord, thank you for the work that you are doing over there in that church. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've given Pastor Hurd and his leadership team. And Lord, just please ask you to please grant him your discernment, your understanding, your wisdom. Lord, fill that whole church with it. Lord, please lead them as you would, where you'd have them go and what you'd have them to do. Because Lord, without you, there's nothing and we have nothing. And so, Lord, we just ask you to please fill that church as well with your presence. And Lord, please pour your blessings out upon them. And Lord, we just ask all this in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand up and worship the Lord.
Mighty is our God. Mighty is our God.
is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything.
Glory,
glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. Is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything,
ruler
of everything, ruler of everything.
Woo! Woo! You are awesome, God. Woo!
We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory.
Yeah.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet.
Woo!
We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet.
Woo!
We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way.
As
he hung up on that cross, and he rose up from the grave, my God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We were the
beggars, now we're royalty. We are the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace.
Let
the house of the Lord sing praise.
Sing again.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We are the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. So let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today.
Woo!
And we won't be quiet. Gonna shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Gonna shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh.
Lord.
sleep fail not, as thou hast been, now forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Darkest night, you are close like no other.
I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of
Amen.
His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
be in a state of worship just a moment, just between you and the Lord. Just thank him for his wondrous grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for the things he's done for you. Just be in a time of intercession with him, in him alone. Just rest in him, rest in his peace right now. Lord, we thank you. We welcome you here. I just pray that you would minister to every heart, every person who's here today. Lord, some have come just because it's Sunday, and that's what they normally do. Lord, I pray that you would intersect with us. And Lord, that you would change whatever needs to be changed. That we would be conformed to your image. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, worship team. Every week you bring us into the presence of the Lord. And we're just so blessed to have you. And just so blessed to have each of you here today as well. Welcome to Life Change. glad you could make it today. We've got another pretty full house. Last week we had 91 here. So the Lord is continuing to grow us and mold us and make us not just numerically, but spiritually as well. And I see people growing in the Lord, and it just thrills me as your pastor to see that. I would rather see that than I would. I mean, numbers are great, right? But I would much prefer to see maturity among the believers. And so glad you could come this morning. So as Matt shared, we have a vision casting this morning. We've got some visitors here from different areas. Kenton Johnson and his wife are here from over in the Gresham area, and he's going to be sharing with us disaster relief. But before we get started, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you know Chinese? They have good food. So this morning before service started, we had two individuals, a couple came who spoke only Chinese. And so we were translating. Sandra was helping me and translating on the phone. And they wanted to know if people here at this party spoke Chinese. And I said, no, but I'm going to see if I can find someone that speaks Chinese. Linda, do y'all have Chinese speaking people at your church? Okay. We need to find a church, a God-centered, spirit-filled church that we can connect these people to, because I got their address and can't really pronounce their name, but we're all about trying to reach people for Christ. And as we were visiting with them, I was thinking, how in the world do we get the gospel message to them? I said, Sandra, ask them, do they know Jesus? And Sandra asked, do you know Jesus? And on the phone, and it's like, don't know who Jesus is. It's like, how do we reach a people who are unreached? If you know anything about Paul, he was always looking for ways to reach into the lives of those who never heard the gospel. If he had not been faithful, listen, if he had not been faithful to share the message to the Gentiles, you and I may not be sitting here today. It was through his witness, it was through his interaction with people who were unlike himself, and bringing the gospel to them, that you have heard the gospel of Christ. We can, of course, the gospel started with Jesus Christ, but you're here today because of Paul's witness. And so am I. I'm going to read a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, before we begin our ministry opportunity, mission fair, vision casting. And he says, so Paul was kind of a Jesus freak, right? Okay. And he says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I might be all by all means save some. So what is foremost in Paul's heart? Take the gospel to every nation. That was his heart. He liked to go where no one had gone before. He liked to share Christ with a people who never heard before. And he would go to any length to share Christ. He would become all things to all men, whereby he might save somebody. Now, what he's not saying is that he didn't become an alcoholic to share with alcoholics. It's not what he's saying. He wasn't saying, I become a beer guzzler so I can share with beer guzzlers. I didn't become a pot smoker so that I can smoke, so that I can share with pot smokers. That's not what he's saying. Okay. He didn't become a wife beater so he could win wife beaters. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying, though, is that I want to become an individual that moves into the camp of someone else who's different than me. I want to learn their language. And I think he knew like three or four, maybe five different languages. And he'd moved into those camps and he would share Christ. And he would live with them for a while until he got ran out, usually, so that he could share Christ with these individuals. He is saying that I will mingle with the Gentiles and become a Gentile. Do you know what a difference between a Gentile and a Jew is? A Jew is a person who comes from Abraham's line physically, and a Gentile is someone else other than them. Okay? And so Paul was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, but when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and God transformed his heart, he became born again. There was something it put in him, and actually the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to be a witness to me to the Gentiles. And in order to do that, he had to give up a lot of things. He said, now I get to eat crawfish. I get to eat shrimp. I get to eat bacon. I get to eat ham. Man, I'm all in, you know. And so he became all things to all men, whereby he could save some. And so when he went into the Gentiles, he became a Gentile. When he's with the Jews, he was a Jew. So that he could win Jews and Gentiles, because he did not want to offend the culture in which he was ministering to. And he didn't want to act proud in the Gentile. Oh, I'm a Jew. I can't eat that. That's off limits to me. Matter of fact, Jews wouldn't even hang around Gentiles. They thought we were dirty. They thought, and most of us are beyond that, but he would say, He would say, you know what? I'm going to just get in there with them and work with them and share Christ with them, because there may be one, two, a dozen, or 500,000 who come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So what we're doing today, we have a what I'm calling a ministry opportunity, vision casting, and mission fair. This week, it's about ministry opportunities that you may not know exists, and a way that you can become involved in the things that are going on in our community and abroad. And the reason we do this, it's not just a social gospel. It's not just hands-on so that we can help somebody in need physically. But the purpose is so that we can share Jesus Christ with them as we are meeting their physical needs. Okay? So, I have enlisted several people, one from our convention, Kenton Johnson, several from our community who was going to be sharing, and we're going to begin first with the way we can connect with our convention and some ministry opportunities they have. Then we're going to look at our community and ministry opportunities that they have that's within our community we can get involved in. And then we're going to look at some ministry opportunities even within our church that you can get involved in. So I'm going to ask everyone who's going to be speaking to come up here and maybe sit on these front rows. And I've also been told, when you take this microphone, hold it right in front of your mouth like this, or right in front of your mouth like this. And if you don't, Paul is going to yell at you. Because everyone needs to hear you, not only who's here, but the thousands that are watching on Zoom out there. And they need to hear you when you speak. Okay? So, any question about that? So, the first one who's going to be speaking is Mr. Kenton Houston. And so, Kenton, would you come forward, please, and share with us about the ministry that's going on?
Thank you for the opportunity to do that. Now, where's Paul? So I know I don't get hit. Where's Paul? So I don't know I don't get hit. Oh, he can't reach me from here.
Well, I'm going to stand here and help you.
Okay. First, I want to say thank you for letting me be here, and honored to be here with some other wonderful guests that you're going to be hearing from as well. You're singing. I tell you, Mormon Tabernacle's got nothing on you, okay? I leaned over to my wife, Rachel, sitting up here and said, at my funeral, I want this congregation to come sing The Blessing. Wow. Almost goosebumps. So we live in Sandy, just outside of, we like to think far enough outside of Portland, but I won't go there. We have a different culture that's more rural, kind of, anyway, I represent Northwest Baptist Disaster Relief. Northwest Baptist Disaster Relief is the regional version, through your Northwest Baptist Convention, of the larger Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Organization. And we're just so tickled pink and proud to be a part of that. That's the third largest, they don't like me saying this, Pastor Brad, but it's the third largest disaster relief organization, disaster relief organization. And you're already a part of helping us in what we do. And I want to extend an opportunity. You can come talk with Rachel and me after the service out there with some details. But I want to extend an opportunity for you to look into whether or not that's something you want to be involved in beyond what you're already involved in. So you're involved already as part of the Interstate Baptist Association and the Northwest Baptist Convention. Through your tithes and offerings, a part of that goes to supporting what we do. So when we buy new equipment or a new trailer to carry the equipment in, it goes to that. Most of the rest of the funding is volunteers pay their own way on a lot of the things. So we'll leave it at that. But it's an honor to stand before you today. As followers of Christ, and I'm going to go off my notes so that I keep it below 2 hours. He said I had 2.5 hours, but I'm going to... He did not. It's all good. But I'm going to follow my notes so I don't go off the rabbit trails that I tend to do if I don't follow my notes. We're called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, reaching out to those in need, right? Can I hear an amen to that? As followers, that's what we're called to. What a better way, and there are lots of good ways, but I personally haven't found a much better way for me to serve and for Rachel to serve than doing it through the impactful work of disaster relief. And I'm going to just spell it out a little bit for you. The gospel-centered mission that we have, it's not just about giving physical need, although it starts there, taking care of physical needs in the aftermath of a disaster. And it's in preparation beforehand, too. In fact, if nothing else, when you come through there, we've got several guides out there for your family on how to prepare for a disaster. I'd love for you to take some of those. I'd love to not take any of those home with me because we've got more, but it's got some wonderful information for being prepared for a disaster. So it's about meeting people at their greatest point of need is what we do. But by volunteering, we have the opportunity to live out the gospel in this tangible, life-changing kind of way. And I can tell you, I've seen lives changed through the Ministry of Disaster Relief. And it's a wonderful thing. I actually texted today with a friend of mine in California from when I went down to the big fire we had down there in Paradise a few years ago. I don't keep up with all those people, but he was a significant role player in what we saw God do down there. Our mission is deeply rooted in the gospel, reflecting the selfless love that Jesus demonstrated through his earthly ministry. And you can think of all the times where he did miracles and met physical needs before he met the physical, the spiritual needs, and they go hand in hand, folks. So whether it's responding to hurricanes or floods, wildfires, mudslides, Northwest Baptist Disaster Relief is there to respond, to provide practical hands-on assistance. In addition to that, we offer hope. It's the hope you were singing about here just minutes ago. It's the hope your pastor holds out to you every time he preaches God's word. We hold out the hope of Jesus Christ. And you've been, maybe some of you, in that hopeless spot before in your life where you felt hopeless or helpless. In times of tragedy, it impacts an entire community with that kind of hopelessness and helplessness. But folks, there is help, and there is hope. And we have the opportunity in these gold shirts to provide that. And again, thank you for your ability in helping us to do that. So you become part as a disaster relief. I'm not here to sign you up, although I do expect to have 15 of you sign up today. So, but if you were to become a volunteer, you have the opportunity to become part of restoring not just buildings, but a sense of community and belonging that's often shattered during a disaster. Your presence, your labor, and your prayers, and your giving can be a catalyst for community healing. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about the coast here or if we're talking about the big cascade earthquake that we know is going to happen someday. It's the small things in between, or it may be an earthquake in Japan or someplace around the world. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ in action, showcasing the strength that comes from unity amid diversity. We have volunteers that are all different colors and that some of them speak different languages, although I don't know of any that we have that speaks Chinese, or I'd sign you up with that person right now and get you in touch with it, brother. But we have lots of different colors and shades of people, yet we all serve under the unity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as you step out of your comfort zone, though, you'll find there's personal transformation that can happen as well. It's not just those we serve, but it's God working through you that gives you the sense of being a part of the big picture. When you step out of your comfort zone and respond to the needs of others, you'll witness the power of God working through you. It is an opportunity for spiritual growth, deepening your faith, and discovering the joy that comes from service. Brothers and sisters, Northwest Baptist Disaster Relief offers a unique and powerful avenue for you to be involved with that kind of ministry. It's an invitation to live out the gospel and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a broken world. So as we consider making an impact through volunteering, I leave you with these words of Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 25:40, he says, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it unto me." Rachel and I felt inspired to join this transformative mission in serving others with love and compassion and the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. And I hope that you'll consider what it might mean in your life as well. There, I finally got it where, and he didn't throw anything at me. How about that? So anyway, I know you've got some other wonderful folks to talk to you about some opportunities too. And I hope that you just give them your wonderful attention like you just did me. I'm guessing you guys are up next.
Thank you. Oh, very good. I'm going to move this so you guys can see it. Can you see it? The PowerPoint? Now can you see it? Keep going. Okay. Can you see me? Okay. I am here to talk to you. What's that? Oh. How far over do I need to get? Okay. Well, thank you, Jesus. I'm here to talk to you about Minnehan's Medical Equipment Recycling, which is a program that has been here in Tillamook County for about 7 years. I'll give you a cue. Okay. This is our equipment shed. It's over by Tillamook. It's behind Tillamook Christian Center. And some of your people, Mike and Kim, have been part of helping put this together. We stock all kinds of medical equipment. But we also are primarily a ministry of Jesus Christ. Our job is to share the love of Jesus to people who need to know him. And I can't quite see that. But we are based out of the body of Christ. Our volunteers are all from the churches, and we go out and minister to each person who comes in, our donors as well as our recipients. Okay, this is a picture of one of our families, and this little lady was the recipient of a lift chair, and it was just such an amazing thing for her. This changed her life. This lift chair changed her life. She had sat in a chair for almost a week, a straight chair. And when she got the lift chair, that helped her to get up out of the chair. And so we go in and we help them get comfortable, and then we pray for them. So we are a faith closet. If we don't have what we need, we pray for it, right? And guess what? If we pray, God brings it in. I was out of wheelchairs. We prayed, and we've got a group of Sisters of Providence. I thought I had three or four, five nuns that were praying for us. I learned that we have 300 nuns. No wonder. So we've had needs for wheelchairs, and we get them in like 7 in a week. So this is an opportunity not only to develop our faith, but it develops the faith in the community. Here's another opportunity of bringing hope to a person who desperately needed it. This woman had lost her daughter 2 weeks before, and she could not get out of her chair. And the other woman, who is our volunteer, said, "I lost my daughter 2 years ago." And there was great ministry that happened. This is one of our volunteers, and this is our trailer, and we go out and we pick up loads of medical equipment in homes. And we usually are meeting with people after somebody has died, because that's when a lot of the time the equipment is ready. Once in a while, it's when people get better. But either way, we pray for them. So what do we do? I'm here to encourage you to be part of our program, to be a volunteer. We receive the medical equipment and supplies. We clean it. We fix it. We make it so it's useful and good to look at. We're open right now 1.5 hours a week, but we are hoping to open another 1.5 hours a week. We deliver equipment in Tillamook County, and we minister to each person. We have volunteers from Living Water, Sacred Heart, the Seventh-day Adventist, Tillamook Christian Center, Home Health and Hospice, all the therapists, and Tillamook Christian Center has given us space to be there for free.
Our referrals come from all kinds of medical offices and clinics and also self-referrals. So this, I just wanted you to know, we got 3,500 in cash donations in 2023. We've gotten about $250,000 in donated equipment this year. We've had 163 donors of equipment and 185 recipients of equipment. And we've given out about 145,000 to people in Tillamook County. And we've given close to $100,000 in 7 deliveries to Ukraine. And anyway, we have very few expenses. We're a very low profile, low organization, but we do great and mighty things. This is one of our Ukrainian teams. About once a month, we send a load to Ukraine from our overabundance, and most of them are medical supplies and wound care supplies, which get airlifted the day after we send it. And we're also sending all kinds of equipment. This woman back there, her mother was in Kyiv, and she told me she was 95 years old, had a stroke, and they carried her on a blanket all the way to Poland. And they left her on the floor in a gym for several months because we sent her a hospital bed, and we've sent a number of them since. This is us packaging wound care supplies for Ukraine. Go ahead. This is Pastor Tim Main, and this is a batch of boxes that we've prepared to go to Ukraine. We're doing this about once a month. We are a ministry. We are volunteers. With 4 more volunteers, we could open up one more day. So to volunteer, you must love people. That is the primary need. And if you're not comfortable praying for people, we've got other jobs for you. But we use the people to just wrap our arms around them and bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And a lot of the people who come in don't even need equipment. They just want the prayer and the love. So we need men we've got 4 women that are, I'm the one of the youngest, and we are carrying hospital beds. And some of the hospital beds are like 300 pounds. So we need some strapping guys, at least once in a while. So our greatest resource is love. And our job is to share the love of Jesus. And I think my time is up. So this is many hands make light work. Many hands donate equipment to us. Many hands clean, prepare, and deliver. And many hands bless and pray for those who are going through hard times.
Okay, amen. So Linda will be in the fellowship hall after church. There are sandwiches if you want to stick around and need something to eat. There's sandwiches in the back. And so she will be in the fellowship hall. Micah and Briar will be in the room beside the fellowship hall. And so I'm going to let Briar speak about Habitat.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Briar.
I don't have a PowerPoint. I was told I had 2 to 3 minutes. So I felt like I was like, that's a large upgrade. So I apologize. We do have a lot of great information on our website, and I would be happy to give you more. I have my cards and information back there. So I'm with Habitat for Humanity of Tillamook County. Our mission is to show God's love by building homes, community, and hope. One way we do that, of course, is building homes. We build homes at an affordable price. Well, we try to build them as affordable as possible. And we sell them at an affordable price, which we all know in today's market isn't possible. So we're able to build homes and sell them at an affordable price to homeowners that would not be able to own a home without us stepping in that gap for them. A big portion of why we're able to do that is volunteers. People feel like, oh, I don't have a lot of skills to bring to the table, but I'm even helpful on the build side, I'm told. So it must be pretty easy. We We do have a contractor in town who works with us and gives us a fantastic price. And we have a building coordinator that builds. And people are just able to come to the build site and plug in with whatever skills they do have, even if that's cleanup. That's a fantastic blessing to have on the build site. We also have opportunities to volunteer in the ReStore. Our ReStore is a used goods store across from the Creamery. And people can help price or clean product or antique products or whatever they're looking to help for there as well. So we do have a lot of different volunteer activities that are fun. Really, our mission of building homes, community, and hope is done through affordable homes, but more excitingly to me, is done through our critical repair program. Our critical repair program comes in and partners with families and individuals who own their home but aren't able to utilize their home in the way that they should be. A prime example is we redid the subfloors in an elderly woman's house that she couldn't go into her bedroom because the floor was falling in. So that made her have her bed in her living room. But it being a trailer, her bed in her living room, literally she couldn't use the stove anymore because there wasn't enough room to open the oven. So this is just crippling, right? That was just such a terrible, terrible thing for her and totally changed her way of life. So we went in, we redid the subfloors, we did all the work that needed to be done and got her bed in her bedroom and built her a ramp so she could leave her house. And she said it's just now there's a reason for her to continue to live, whereas she was just sitting in her house wondering why God kept her when that was her life in that house. And that repair cost us $2,000. We were able to change her life and make it so that she gets a higher quality of life. And now she can go and minister to others and she can live the life that God has for her, honestly. So ramps and rails are a very high common thing that we do. Our focus is on low income homeowners that just need that extra little help. So it's really the critical repair program. There's two ways you can help with that. It's actually a really fun way to plug in. We went for the Nazarene youth group went and helped with that ramp. And it was just a couple hours and we had a ramp and she could, literally she was like, oh, I can go down these. And it was such an exciting moment for her. And it was just a couple hours of our day. And it was someone smarter than us telling us what to do, which was really nice. They're like, Briar, hammer. I'm like, oh, I got it. I could do that. Meanwhile, my sons were doing math. So it takes all types. But we do need volunteers to help with those things. And that's a great way to plug in. And on our website, I would have put it up here. I apologize. I didn't know I could have a PowerPoint slide. I must have missed that. You know, being related, sometimes communication isn't our thing. But on our website, you can sign up or I can give you information here to sign up for our newsletter. And our building coordinator does a great job saying, hey, we're going to plug in on Saturday. If you want to come help with this ramp, let us know and he'll get you the address. So that's a great way. But also, honestly, I think a big part of our mission of building community homes and hope is bringing people to the table to help and volunteer and get that opportunity to plug into their community. But it's also for you to help us and inform us and others of the things that we do, because there are people who need our resources. There's people who need that ramp or rail or that roof repair, and they don't know to seek after us, and we want to meet them where they're at. I want to get to the point where I don't know how I can do all the repairs that are presenting themselves, and that we're saying, God, I feel like we need another employee to do this job, but we don't have the funding. Let's go. Let's do this thing. And we can't get there without your guys' help. And why we want that is that's going to build our community hope and hope in Tillamook County. So as you're out and about and you're hearing of people who are not living the life that you feel like they should be able to get to live because of things that we could fix as Habitat for Humanity, let us know. Help them to, find our website, or we can call them. We do house visits because the elderly population isn't into our website, which makes sense. And we're so happy to meet them where they're at. I have an office manager that loves to go out and meet with people as opposed to say, well, come figure it out and give us an application. We're happy to go there, talk to them, see what the needs are and meet those needs. So If you would like to volunteer or learn more about donating to the Restore, which helps our mission, or any other questions, financially donate, let me know and go to our website. Thank you.
Sorry, Linda. I've inherited another opportunity to share about Compassion Connect in Tillamook. Compassion Connect, I think you've probably heard about it a little bit. On February 25th, from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock, the churches are coming together and the community, some of the secular programs are coming together to meet needs in Tillamook County. And there will be a variety of dental, medical, optical, all kinds. Many hands will be there. Many different programs are going to be there. Some hearing, I think, and some optical. So this is going to be a free service for people who need it. And it's not really based on finances. It is going to be for people that need it. A lot of the middle class people are falling through the cracks and can't get insurance. And they have to pay for these things out of pocket, and there's just not enough to go around. So this is an opportunity. It will be a first come, first serve. Now, the churches of Tillamook County are putting this on. That means the volunteers come from you. Another wonderful opportunity to show the love of Jesus. So we are looking for some leadership for different activities. One is, if you like to write letters, and we need an appreciation team coordinator who will help with writing thank you letters to those that are helping us. That's a really important thing in this kind of work, because this is the first ever, and we want our people to feel appreciated so they'll come back and do it again. We need a financial coordinator. Now, this is a really good, if you like doing books and Excel, this is a good way to record information, and it's a short-term volunteer job. And it's only between now and the end of February. So somebody who's good with numbers, we need that. We need people to help with facility setup and tear down. And there will be a plan that has to be carried out, and you get to be the director. You will. We need a hairstylist team for people to give haircuts. I don't think they're going to be doing perms or anything like that, but something simple. We need a publicity team to help with getting information into the newspaper and on the radio and just getting banners out and just public relations. We need a food team because there will be people coming in all day that need snacks. And a parking and safety team. They have rented the YMCA and Liberty School. And so the parking is going to be all around that area. And there is going to be a big resource fair where the local services are going to be there to answer questions and make themselves available. And that will, if you're part of a local resource, stop and see me back there. And we need a prayer team. We need a prayer team coordinator. And people to participate on the prayer team. We need a medical team coordinator, a dental team coordinator, and a registration team. I think these are all different teams. I think we have a registration team coordinator, and there will be an area for children to play while their parents get their needs met. So if you have any questions, I will do my best to answer.
I went to the Northwest Baptist Convention in November. And while I was there, there was a breakout session that I went to and listened to this lady speak about how do we, and she's getting her doctorate on how to reach the LGBTQ+ culture. And the more I listen to her, I'm like, man, we really need that in this community. And so I've invited her out in April to speak not only to our church, but the churches at large. She speaks to families. She speaks to children. She speaks to youth. I'm going to try to get her into the schools. And so anyway, she sent a video yesterday. She said, I'm going to have a professional one done in February, this is really good. But I just want to let you know that we are wanting to impact our community. Everybody's lost who don't know Jesus, okay? And your sin of choice may be different than their sin of choice. And so we're all lost without Christ. And so a lot of times, you know, we look at the LGBTQ plus community and we say, oh, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with them. But what if God says, yeah, you need to have something to do with them and you need to try to plug them into Christ. And so anyway, that's what Leah's about. And so we're going to watch a little bit about what Leah has to share.
Hi guys, my name is Leah Kate King. I am the founder of Garden to Garden Biblical Consulting. From age 19 until now, I have been working on researching and studying as well as getting real life experience through the School of Hard Knocks, as well as academic career, getting my master's and now my doctorate, and studying the area of biblical sexuality and the church partnership in that. We live in a sexually fluid culture, and so we're not only addressing what it means to engage in culture that is LGBTQ agenda infused, but also how to engage in those in our congregations who are struggling with sexual brokenness, another way of phrasing that is sexual distortions, and also knowing how to interact with the culture around them. So what I do and what I have put my life's work into doing, as well as my education and the School of Hard Knocks, is really helping pastors and ministry leaders, families and church congregations and students understand what it means to follow Jesus in our sexuality. And if we're called to holiness in every area of our lives because of surrender to Jesus, then we have to understand what it means to follow Jesus in our sexuality, regardless of what we struggle with, heterosexually or homosexually. So Garden to Garden focuses on looking at God's design for us as sexual beings in the garden, because sexuality and gender existed before the fall of man, and what it means to live into that design despite our fallenness, our inclinations, and our temptations as we await the coming of Jesus, because by his death and resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to live godly lives as he has equipped us for everything in life and godliness. A lot of what I do is I use the example of a pie and how every area of life is like a slice of that pie. We use 8 slices, and one of the slices of life is our gender and sexuality. And so we don't want to only focus on that slice of life, but we also don't want to ignore it. So we want to disciple people around us holistically. And then also our engagement in culture. If someone doesn't know Jesus, our conversation with them isn't going to be about their sexuality as much as we would love to talk into that. Our conversation with them is going to be loving them to Jesus. When someone meets Jesus, he will and has to, because of who he is, touch every area of their life, every area of that 8 slice pie. So that's what I like to talk to pastors and leaders about. That's what I talk to churches about. And that's what I get to talk to students about and walk with them in. I'm excited to come see y'all. I'm excited to hang out, and I look forward to hanging out in person.
Financial. Yeah.
Am I on? All right. The next piece that we're going to talk about is financial literacy and the financial piece that's coming up starting on January 24th. Briar and I will be teaching financial peace for the second go-around here. Due to our, well, my poor financial choices when we first got together and taking us down a significantly terrible financial path, we found that through financial literacy that we've significantly been able to increase our financial health. Financial health is one of the leading causes of anxiety, depression, and a lot of health disorders come from that level of stress and anxiety and depression. One way to address that and to start improving your financial health is by improving your financial literacy. It's kind of taboo to talk about finances. Recent studies have shown that it is actually more comfortable for people to talk about their sex life than it is to talk about their finances. Right. We're talking about finance. So with all of that around finance, you know, all of that pressure, the idea behind, you know, opening up the door and making it okay for people to talk about their finances, to improve your financial literacy, that's what we're looking to do in this financial freedom seminar that's starting January 24th. So we hope that you all join us. If you have any more questions about it, we'll be back at the Habitat table to talk to you about it after.
So yeah, it's me again. Oh, So don't worry, it's not going to be a 2-hour sermon. Got about an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah, an hour and 45 minutes. No, I just want to talk to you today about what we do on the second Sunday outreach. So every month we gather here right after church now, starting, to go out to knock on doors and to bring hope to a lot of hopeless people. Tell them about Christ. To pray for them. To scatter seeds. You know, that's what we're called to do, is scatter seeds. You know, it may be that they come to Christ. Like last month when we went out. We have someone who gave his life to the Lord. But for the most part, of all the places we visited, in today's world, it is really a dark, depressing, hopeless, downer place. And there's a lot of people without hope. There's a lot of people, you know, Micah was talking about financial peace. There's a lot of people who have low income, who have no money, who really are feeling that depression, that just sense of dread, you know, who have creditors on their backs, who don't know where to go, you know. But that's why we go out. We go out to talk to them, to pray over them, to pray with them, to see if there's anything we can help them with, to try and speak Jesus into their lives. And it's amazing because you might think that in today's world there's a lot of slammed doors, but there's not. There's a lot. I can't tell you how many people that we've talked to, we knock on the door, and they actually open it up. And it's really funny because it's like they've been just waiting for us to come, someone to come to be able to talk to them, to hear their concerns, to pray with them. And they just open up. You know, and the ones who don't accept Christ, they're actually changed by it. Because for that one moment, we've taken a little bit that of the massive darkness there is. We put one little light, and we know that light always conquers darkness. So, and if you don't believe me, go into a cave, turn on a flashlight. So, but our mission is to spread the seeds. It's not up to us whether they sprout or not. That's up to God. But if we don't speak it, if we don't scatter those seeds, nothing happens. You know, for those of you here today, how did you learn who Jesus was? You know, maybe for some of you here, it was someone who was, hey, let me tell you about this guy, Jesus. You know, you didn't, maybe didn't accept him then, but you accepted him later. But it was the seeds that were scattered that caused it. And so that's what we do. We actually have a little bag that we take with us. It's full of candy. It's got some Bible tracts, and it's actually got a Bible in it. And we go knock on a door, and it's kind of funny because the places we visit with kids, they're like, candy! And it's an automatic in. But we also take gift cards for Christmas. We take Fred Meyer gift cards. And because they're $20 gift cards, but to these people who are like living in these low-income apartments, 20 bucks is a lot of money because every penny counts. But that's what we do. We reach lives. So I encourage you to do it. It's just one Sunday a month. It's like the National Guard, 1 week in a month, you know. But if you want to talk to me about it, I'll be in Fellowship Hall. And like I said, we do it every second Sunday after church. We meet, bring a sack lunch, and we'll do a little training, quick run through, and then we go out and we knock on doors. So, thank you. Yeah, and that's next weekend. We're going to go out and knock on doors.
It is. I keep turning it the wrong way. We've started a food pantry at the church. And if you need a food items, this is the number to talk, to text, 503-812-3892. And if you need something, then text that number. Jeannie will get back with you and set you up for helping to supply your needs. Also, and this, we set this up for two reasons. One is we want the people in our church to have plenty. And the second thing is we want to you to, hey, excuse me. The second thing is when you, if you have someone that you know of in your community or have a need, would you bring them here? And the reason we're doing this is because people who have, who are working with a food pantry, with the government, they're not able to share Jesus. So this is in-house. Okay? And so if you know someone who has a food need, bring them here and get with Jenny, and then we can share Jesus with them as well. Okay? And this is the reason we're doing this is so that we can share Jesus, because there's a lot of people who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Okay. So I'm closing. Thank you, everyone who's shared this morning. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming. I just want to, one thing I want you to pray about, congregation. We are on some Sundays running out of space here. And so I need you to pray about what's next. I need you to pray about building. I need you to pray about what that's going to look like. And I'll be mentioning this when I've got longer to speak. But a lot of times we think about the figures rather than listening to what God says. So this is what I want you to get on your knees and ask God, what does he want? Not what you can figure out, but what does he want? And then we will talk about that at our business meeting in a couple of weeks, okay? So Father, I come before you this morning. I just want to thank you for your presence here. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you for all your wonderful blessings. And God, I pray that, Lord, that there may be some here who've been wondering what to do, How can they get involved? And I get that question quite often. What can I do? How can I get involved? And so, Lord, there have been many opportunities given this morning for people to get involved. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and your way in our hearts. And again, Lord, it's not, I don't want to do that because then I'll miss a football. Lord, I don't want to do that because then I'll miss something else. But Lord, it's not what we want, it's what you want. So move on our hearts and give us your desire. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Why don't, Jenny, Wendy, you come bless us out. And then you, those of you who are going to be manning tables, y'all go ahead and move in that direction, if you would. The Lord bless thee
and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance on thee and give thee peace. God bless you guys.